Hi, this is Babelito.
And this is Favi Fav, and you're listening to a Mordida Minisode, a small bite in between our full episodes to tide you over until next Thursday.
Take it away, vámonos!
Mordida! 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 Mordida!
What's happening?
¿Qué show?
So what's really going on?
Nothing, man. We're just here talking about Juan Gabriel once again.
You say nothing, but Juan Gabriel is a big deal.
It's my thing. It's about nothing, which is about everything.
So what's up?
So here's the thing. We have one of our listeners, Juan Fernandez. He works at the Callen Lord Community Health Center in New York. And he's been listening to the podcast. And he said, hey, guys, give me a little bit of a help. Why? Because he put together a panel discussion at Cal State at the Cross Cultural Center. I think it was a couple of weeks ago. And he was invited by Jasmine Villarreal, who is one of the editors for The Advocate.
Cool.
And they put together this panel, the discussion panel, that it's all about Juan Gabriel. They had artists, performance artists, including Dorian Wood and El Sancha. They had people singing, and it was this whole entire thing. And they asked her to participate. So he sent this series of questions about Juan Gabriel. So I thought, why don't we make it a mordida? So
sweet.
So yes.
And so it's gonna be in a zine, right?
Yeah, it's already in a zine. It was limited, but as soon as we get the copies, I'm gonna show it to everybody.
Oh my God, though, I can't wait.
I can't wait. So are you ready?
So we're gonna play the interview.
We're gonna play the series of questions that we got.
We recorded a while ago.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, cool.
Okay.
All right. Let's have some transition music.
Okay, la primera pregunta dice, can you introduce yourselves and tell us about the Latinos Who Lunch podcast?
Well, I'm Favi Fav.
And this is Babelito.
And we are
Latinos Who Lunch,
a podcast where we talk about everything like
no sé. I was gonna say something very mad. Nothing. Yes.
You're not very good at improv, dude.
No, I suck at improv. I remember when I was in theater, I tried. I was the worst.
Try again. A podcast where we talk about important things like
mentira. okay, so our podcast is it's devoted to give Latino voices in the United States, queer Latino voices in this country, as a visible space and an audible space. And we concentrate on everything. We talked about everything from food to issues about our place in the museum, our place in the university, and the topics range from everything. Anyway, cut that out.
Yeah, this is a place for us to just talk and you know, be a part of this podcast world.
Correct. Especially because now there's a lot of Latino podcasts, right? But when we started, there was like a couple of us. So we really wanted to see our voices portrayed out there. So we decided to take matters into our own. And here we are after almost, we've been out for, 6 months?
Since
we started
May.
In May, yes.
I don't know. That's more than six
Seven.
Months. Yeah.
Okay.
So why are you so nervous?
I don't know why.
Cálmate.
Okay. Anyway, so here's the second question. When did Juan Gabriel came into your consciousness?
I think we talked about it in our Juanga episode.
Mm-hmm.
Probably when I was like 8 or 9, and my grandma said that I looked like, when I rolled my eyes, I looked like Juan Gabriel.
Oh.
Because the faggotry was too strong.
It was real.
Even back then. What about you?
I was born. I don't know. Because I was born with Juan Gabriel in my mind.
Ay, cálmate. Saliste wrapped in a tortilla de harina.
Fue así.
Como un burrito.
No, güey, fue así. Querida.
Shut up.
So, okay, no, I... he's from Juarez, so from this, I don't remember when. Like, I must have been a baby, but
you just always...
Always, Juan Gabriel has always been part of the of our culture in Juarez, mm-hmm. and it's always been part of our identities, not only as Mexicanos, but as more than anything, as Juarenses. It was kind of like our Eiffel Tower nowadays.
Ooh.
It is, especially... Ooh, the house is becoming a museum, and there's, like, all this drama around it.
Oh,
girl. But that's another episode. Okay, so the third question is, how do you experience or understand Juan Gabriel's queerness with your own Latinidad?
How do I understand his queerness with my own Latinidad?
Well,
you know, it's very complicated because, you know, we mentioned it on the other podcast, lo que se ve no se pregunta, right?
Correct.
Which is, in a way, a bold statement, right? Like, don't ask me. Like, of course I'm a homo. Like,
yeah.
But at the same time, that's not what he's saying. He's also being very careful as to what he identifies with. It's kind of like the idea when, like, Raven Simone was like, I'm not black, I'm an American, right? To claim your identity is really important. And when Juan Gabriel didn't claim his homosexuality, in a way, it was sure to protect him, right?
Correct.
Because there's so many closeted homosexuals out there in Hollywood. Shout out to Will Smith. And it's a shame that we as a people,
society,
he's not living in a world where people are evolved enough to be okay with him being a homo. And
so we have to do all the circles
around it. Just dancing circles around it. And I can definitely relate to that.
Yes.
Did I answer the question?
Yes. Oh, okay. And I think one example we have is, and it's almost like a failed example, I hate to say it, is Ricky Martin. He came out, he was all about it, and then what happened? Like,
nobody gives a shit.
Yeah, no, people don't give a shit, but at the same time, it's reflected in his career. Like, he never came back from it, right? So I really think so. I really think it's because I don't know, maybe his music really sucks now, but I just don't think he came back from it. I don't think he's the same sexy Latino symbol that a lot of people wanted him to be. You know what I mean?
I don't know.
So, but I think of another other Latino artist that just came out like that.
Yeah.
We don't have any. So I think that's how I see the queerness in Latinidad, because he's a very strong symbol for us Latinos in the United States, especially after he died. I think we started to reconsider who he really was as a queer artist after he died. And it really is really opening a whole Pandora box about who we are as queer Latinos in this country and also in Mexico. So it's a thing that it's in process too, that we cannot define that right now, because it's just starting to come out, because maybe those conversations have been prevalent in places like Mexico, but here in the States, I think it's like Selena. Mm. After her death is when we started to reconsider her in all kinds of different ways.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the fourth question is, how do you think Juan Gabriel's career differs from pop culture's normative image of gay performance and sexuality?
Say it again.
How do you think Juan Gabriel's career differs from pop culture's normative image of gay performance and sexuality?
How does it... I don't know. You want to take a crack at this one?
Yes. I think one of the... It's hard to answer it if you want to talk about pop stars in general, because I don't think we can compare Juan Gabriel to, even though we can compare to so many different stars. People talk about Elton John, Liberace, this and that. We cannot compare him to anybody, right? Mm-hmm. So it's hard to put him in those categories. But if we want to talk about the normative image of a Mexicano or Latino pop artist, we can make those comparisons and say that he was destroying a lot of those boxes, a lot of those categories.
Mm.
I always think about the live concert in Bellas Artes, singing mariachi. That's a very male-dominated, macho sort of category. And then on top of that, you have Bellas Artes. And Bellas Artes, only people of that composed or that performed classical music was allowed to perform there. And then on top of that, he was, you know, performing with lentejuelas and dancing around. So it's like, it was destroying normative ideas upon normative ideas upon or heteronormative ideas.
Do you think that, I'm thinking of this year, or of sorry, not this year, 2016, with the passing of David Bowie and Prince, two straight, I'm doing air quotes right now, pop performers that were, to me, celebrated for being kind of queer.
Correct.
In their personas. Do that apply to Juan Gabriel?
Does, but it doesn't, because even at some point, the heterosexuality in terms of gender, right? Not so much of performance, but of gender of those two artists was a little bit more defined later on in their lives. Mm-hmm. Juan Gabriel never fully came out. Like the closest was that phrase, lo que se ve no se pregunta, but that still is not coming out. And if you look at all his, if you look at all his interviews, he always played with words. Do you have a girlfriend? What does a girlfriend mean? The people is my girlfriend, right? He will say stuff like that, but always playing around the
idea.
How
exhausting.
It was, yes.
How exhausting for him.
Correct. But at the same time, towards the end of his career, even though he didn't put it in words, you see it in that, like in interviews that sacaba el fan, and he was a lot more feminine. And if you look at, for example, the music videos of the 70s, like "Bésame, solo quiero un beso," like it's the gayest fucking song, right?
Yeah.
And you see him, and he's wearing a sweater and white pants, and that's it. And he tries, like you can see in the videos, that he tries really hard not to do those movements that by the 90s was a signature of him, of his queerness.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a development, but it's all in performance, never in words, which I think I find very interesting. Mm. Next question is, in what way do you think queer Latinos in the U.S. experience his life and death differently than his fans in Mexico?
Ooh. That's a great question. I don't know. You would know more than I, because you.
I think we already answered that, right?
De la frontera, you know, like that's that was. I think it was way more. Juan Gabriel's death was way more important to you than to me, because I feel like you said, you were born with Juanga in your blood.
But I think in terms of queerness of like the queer Latinos in the U.S., as I say before, I think it is now that we're going to start making sense of it. And we're starting to make sense of it. And I guess these questions are a reflection of that as well. But, and different from Mexico, it's very different. I think that people have been engaging with conversations about the faggotry of it all with Juan Gabriel, right? In the good and the bad sense for a long time, like since the 70s. But in the States,
I don't know. I wouldn't know.
In the States, it's different. I think that question is going to start being answered. It's going to be like, it's going to answer itself in the next couple of decades, right?
Okay.
So the next question is, why do you think his music appeals so much to our families, especially our mothers?
I think that he's a mama's boy, and you can just tell. You can just tell in his songs, and I think moms are just attracted to that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, like when, and I think also he was so open about his life and his relationship with his mother. And I wondered if that had anything to do with it. Because you're right. Like, mis tías, mi mamá, mi abuela, like everybody.
There are so many parallels with him and Liberace. It's so interesting.
Yeah. And he's
the same with Liberace.
Really? With the relationship with his mother?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know. I don't know about Liberace.
Yeah, the house, Liberace's house here in Las Vegas, he built his mother a house on his property. So she lived with on the same compound. There, it was,
I wondered if it's, because there was a movie that came out in the 70s that touches upon that, but like the relationship with his mother was not fully fleshed, but it was
with Juanga's mom.
Yes, but it gave you tips in the songs. So I wondered if it was that. And I mean, Amor Eterno is like an Oda a la Mamá, you know?
Yeah.
So I wondered if it has to do with that. Okay, next questions. What are some of your most personal moments or outfits? What are some of your personal favorite moments or outfits from his career?
One of the latest outfits where he looks like a blue purple Muppet. I love that one.
We need to find.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes,
the one where he's wearing a blue, like a purple jacket, and
yes.
It looks like a piñata.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's one of my faves. How about you?
Mine is the Bellas Artes Michael Jackson looking.
Ooh.
That it's between Michael Jackson and Lentejuelas de Mariachi.
Yeah.
I'm moving my shoulders as I say
this. I know. Mírala. And my favorite moment is when he interviewed himself.
Oh, my God. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
That video is so dumb. It's so good.
If you don't know Juan Gabriel, and the first thing you're exposed to is that, is like, really? You're like guessing if he's gay
really
or not?
Queen. Really?
Exactly. So, that is also one of my favorite moments. Since you are Latinos who lunch, what food would you suggest while listening to your favorite Juanga song? We can say at the same time. Burritos.
Burritos. Burritos de barbacoa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Burro de it's
okay. Uh-huh. Now to flip it, like if you were to go out to eat with Juan Gabriel, where would you want to go with him?
I will eat burros en Juarez if I had the choice. Oh yeah.
For me, I would go eat vegan food, Thai vegan food. I want to see what he eats.
Oh my God. Imagine like the table full of all this.
I love Thai food, so we would grub.
Would they serve you the soup with the fire and everything?
Ay, oh el escándalo. His skin just glowing with the firelight of the propane cans.
Yes, yes, yes.
Wow.
That would be so awesome. Oh, also, what if you could ask him something, what would it be?
Can I borrow some money? No.
Can you please fund us?
Can you be my benefactor? What would you ask him?
I wouldn't ask him anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. If he spent 30, 40 years trying so hard not to be decoded or put in a box, who am I to try to
get
him out?
Was he a dog person?
That I don't know.
I bet you he is. If he's like Liberace, he probably had so
no,
many
No, girl,
dogs.
But do you think if he was into dogs, he would be carrying that little dog everywhere he was? And I don't remember seeing anything.
I bet you he had a lot of dogs.
You think so?
We got to Google it like that.
We have to find it.
I would ask him about his dogs because, you know, dog people love their dogs.
What is your fantasy dog for Juan Gabriel?
That's a great question. One of those white fluffy dogs.
Of course.
You know, have you seen that meme with the dog with the, like, has a white afro?
Yes.
That's Juanca's dog right there.
Imagine. Oh, okay.
Like a like a mini little poodle looking thing.
Oh my God, I love it. Okay, so finally, any films, books, music, or any other thing you can suggest that you feel inspires Juanca vibes?
Ooh.
We talked about this in the music episode, and I think my favorite thing that has been inspired by Juan Gabriel is Chilean pop in general. There's a queerness to all of Chilean pop music, and especially Alexander Anwandter's album Amiga screams Juan Gabriel from the doubling of his own voice in the choir, in los coros, from the letters. It's all about, you know, you don't know if he's singing to the mother or to the best friend or to the lover. And those are the layers that he constructed. And then some of the arrangements of the songs, it screams Juan Gabriel. So I will say Alexander Anwandter.
I'm trying to think of something. I can't right now.
That's good.
You're good. That was a great answer. Great job.
Let's stay with that.
Yeah.
Awesome. So those are good answers for this questioner, I think, and hopefully Juan will like our little mordida. And thank you very much, Juan, for suggesting this questioner. It's a great opportunity for us to keep talking about Juan Gabriel because we can never have enough Juan Gabriel conversation here in Latinos Who Lunch.
For sure. And as always, you can reach us at www.latinoswholunch.com. You can email us at latinoswholunch@gmail.com. And also feel free to send voice memos. If you record a voice memo on your phone, maybe 30 seconds to a minute long, and send it, we might play it on a future episode.
Yes.
Yeah, I think I'm done.
Okay.
Bye.
Ciao.